Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. This is an indeed exciting time for us because today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an exciting day. It is the biggest holiday of the Christian calendar, of the Christian year. Yes, even bigger than Christmas. This is the day of the resurrection. Now, the scripture we're going to be using for the first part of this message is found in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 56. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were broken open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. What a marvelous thing it is to hear how God the Father raised Jesus the Christ from death to life, just as he had promised he would do. You see, no one killed Jesus. Oh, yes, they did, you say. The Romans and the Jews killed Jesus. Well, they were the stagehands in the plan of redemption. But in the final event, they did not kill Jesus. Jesus gave up his spirit to the Father. By doing so, he left his lifeless body there on the cross of the redemption of all mankind, left it there for the redemption of all mankind. That's you and I, my friends. He left his lifeless body there. Look at the scripture in Matthew. Jesus cried out and gave up his spirit. Matthew 27:50. No one took his life. He gave it up voluntarily. No man can kill God. Think of what it must have been like that day so long ago. There in that place of crucifixions, that place of the skull, with Jesus hanging there between the two thieves. You say, well, this is a resurrection message. Why are you talking about that? Because you can't have a resurrection until you have a death. The same is true for you and I. If we want to accept Christ, we must die to our old self and allow Christ to raise us again to new life, to a renewed mind, a renewed understanding, and a renewed fellowship with God. This is very important. Now, what happened at the time that all these events took place? Something else took place in another location there in Jerusalem. You see, the temple curtain tore. It was when Jesus gave up his spirit that the temple curtain tore from top to bottom. Now, the curtain was several stories tall. Most people don't realize this. This was not some just little sheer hanging in someone's living room or bedroom or on some window in their house. This curtain was several stories tall and several inches thick. Some say as much as 4 or 5 inches thick. I mean, I've been on a stage with those big, heavy velvet curtains, and those would be something. I mean, they're heavy. But think of that. This was a huge curtain by any looking at the scale of it. It was huge. So you see, it was several stories tall and several inches thick. So the fact that it tore from top to bottom, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, certainly did prove that no man could have done it. The curtain symbolizes man's separation from God by sin. You see, that curtain kept man from the Holy of Holies, the presence of the power of God. So that curtain served as a reminder of the barrier which existed up until Jesus took mankind's sins and sickness on himself. Now notice, when he did that, when he gave up the ghost, what happened? The curtain tore. And so the curtain now showed the barrier no longer existed, because mankind could boldly, I tell you boldly, my friends, approach God through the blood and death of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, who was sent here to take away the sins of the world. The whole sin of the world was taken when he gave up the ghost, when he said that he committed that into the hands of the Father, trusting the Father that the Father would see to it that he was resurrected. Now that takes a lot of trust, my friend. Some people have trouble trusting someone just to pick up something for them at the grocery store. Some people have trouble trusting in so many different ways in life. And here is this Jesus, this Anointed One, the Messiah, on the cross, and he trusts for a resurrection. But one of the other exciting things, and some people hear this scripture and they say, where is that? I didn't know that. Well, you know it now, because you're going to find it again in Matthew 27:52. The tombs broke open. That's what we're told. The tombs broke open, and the scripture says the bodies of many holy people were raised to life. This would certainly seem to dispel any ideas concerning the disciples stealing Jesus' body from the tomb to stage a fake resurrection. You know, there have even been books written about that. But those books never happen to mention that many other people, when he gave up the ghost on the cross, they came out of the graves. But you see, this is in fact a foreshadowing of when Jesus comes to get his bride. The believers who have died, when they are raised from the grave to meet him in the air. Now notice that they stayed right there with him in the cemetery. They did not leave the cemetery until Jesus rose, and then they did. Then they went on in, but they were already raised. Now notice that. This is very important. You see, because he's showing some things here. This event had many witnesses according to Scripture. Many witnesses. It is interesting to note that while these were raised from the dead, that they didn't go into the city until Jesus was resurrected and returned to the holy city. You see, one day, when in the twinkling of an eye, this will happen to people, and they will meet Jesus in the air. I'll talk more about that. Even non-believers were forced by what they saw to acknowledge Jesus was the Son of God. These are centurions. These were people who were there guarding him. These were people who were not easily impressed by things that happened, but they were impressed when Jesus came out of that grave. Now, an interesting thing happened, and here for this one, we have to go to the book of John. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Now, this is the story of Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. So I'm going to start, I think, in verse 10. The disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? "Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When Mary Magdalene was at the tomb after Jesus' resurrection, she was weeping greatly when she did not find his body in the tomb. Now think of that. She's weeping greatly because why? She has the inertia of thought of normal thinking of people in the earthly realm. But then she encounters two angels. Now remember, two is the number of adequate witness. Mary turned after they asked her why she was crying, only to see the Lord himself standing there. Remember, there's now three. Three is the number of perfect witness. Believe me, this resurrection needed perfect witnessing. Mary did not recognize him at first, even after he spoke to her. It is important to expect the Lord to be in a person's life and to speak to them. You see, we want to be careful that we don't find ourselves like Mary, not expecting what the Lord has said. The Lord has told us many things that he would carry out, many things that he would do, but we must expect them. She was not expecting that. Mary's expectation was to take care of a dead body. Mary's expectation was not to see the risen Jesus. But he realized, but she realized, it was the Lord. What, when he called her name. If you've come to Christ, you came because he called your name. You heard his voice. You say, "Well, I've never heard the voice of God." If you're a believer, you have heard the voice of God. You have heard the Father call out to you and draw you. You have heard that still small voice. You have heard the voice of God. If you're not a believer, you may hear that voice of God any time that you hear the these words that are being spoken right now. You may actually hear them draw you to Jesus the Christ. You may say, "I've never heard some of this the way that you're presenting it." And suddenly, you realize he's calling to you. So the same is true today as he was for Mary then. She didn't expect it, but it still happened. But my friend, I would say to you, expect God to call out to you. But when he calls your name, you respond to it. You see, this was true of Saul, who persecuted believers until Jesus called out his name. Jesus told Mary not to touch him because he had not yet ascended. Now, why was this? He had not yet ascended as our high priest, gone up to the ark in heaven and sprinkled his blood of the sacrificial lamb there, as the high priest had done in the temple once each year. He was to go and do it once and for all. You see, when the high priest was ceremonially prepared to go into the Holy of Holies, nobody could touch him after that, because if they touched him, he was then defiled. He was not able to go in and do what he needed to do to sprinkle the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Well, this was what Jesus was doing, because he is the high priest, the highest of all. So if a high priest was touched before he went into the Holy of Holies in the temple, he was then unclean and could not enter to do his function. You see, Jesus fulfilled all that was necessary to restore mankind's relationship to God. This is why he's known as the Prince of Peace. People say, oh, well, he brought war. No, no, you've misunderstood, my friend. He's the Prince of Peace not because he brought peace between man and man, but because he brought peace between man and God. So Jesus fulfilled all that was necessary to restore mankind's relationship to God. Then he returned to his disciples for 40 days. He returned to them to spend more time with them, to sort of close out what he had started here on earth, but closing it out in a much different fashion. Closing it out as their risen Lord. How marvelous is that? How wonderful is that? Oh, my friends, when you realize that when he then returned, he came back, what did he do? He then says to Thomas, Thomas, touch my hands. Touch my side. That's the reason he told Mary she couldn't, and then could tell Thomas he could. Because he had gone, he had, during the time that he was in the tomb, he had descended into hell. He had gotten death, hell, and the grave taken captive, and then he ascended and sprinkled his blood after he was risen on the mercy seat in heaven, and came back and spent that final 40 days in a body that was what we call the glorified body, able to walk through walls, able to just go from here to there just in the blink of an eye. And one day he will come back for all the believers, and those who are in the grave will raise first. And then those who are alive will meet him in the air along with them. And then we will all be gone with him for a period of time, and then will we return. Now, get the picture. These people were raised already, remember, in the cemetery, but they did not go into the city until Jesus went into the city. In the same way, once we have been raised, we will not return with him for a period of time, but we will still be alive and with him, just as they were alive there outside the tomb, and later went into the city once he was raised and out and about in the city as well. These are all things that happen, but they're also a picture, a foreshadowing, to give us the confidence, to give us the understanding, to know that we will be raised with him. There are many stories of resurrection in Scripture, but this story of resurrection is far beyond any others. Because this story lets us know, letting us know what happened. This is history. When I say story, I don't mean it's just some story somebody made up. This is history. This has happened. And the other parts that have not yet happened will happen just as surely as this happened. And we will one day meet him in the air, and we will one day return with him again. Oh my. Jesus, the risen Lord. Jesus, out of the tomb. Jesus, sending the Holy Spirit to be with us. Oh, to be sure, that will not happen for another 50 days from the time that we're celebrating this. But it will happen, my friend. It has happened. And that Holy Spirit is here as a guarantee that he will come again just as he said he would. We can rely on that as much as he could rely on the Father raising him from the dead, from that tomb. Now that takes trust, my friend. That takes trust. But think of all those others who were walking around there outside their tombs simply because the curtain had been torn. He had completed what he was sent to do. He had fulfilled the law, not destroyed the law, but fulfilled the law. We live in a marvelous time. And now we live in a time that the Scriptures have talked about. This is a time to be with the Lord. This is a time to hear his voice. This is a time, if you have never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you want to do it now. You need to do it now. Because we live, again, right now, in one of the most exciting of times ever. If you feel that calling, if you feel that drawing, if you say, I want this Jesus, then pray this prayer with me now. Heavenly Father, I know I can come to the throne boldly now because the curtain was torn, giving me access. Because through Christ I have access and I come in Christ's name. I want all there is of Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to be with you forever. I need you. I turn from all the other things that I have been distracted to in life and I turn my attention to you. I place myself in your hands. I want the salvation offered through Jesus the Christ. And I pray in His name, the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, you're in. You're one of the people who will either come out of the grave and meet Him in the air, or once the people have come out of the grave and met Him in the air, you will be caught up and meet Him in the air too. You're now a new creature in Christ Jesus. You now have access to the throne of God because you can come boldly in Jesus' name. Now, if you say, well, I'm one of those people who did that once, but I kind of let my love grow cold. I've not been or done all I needed to do in my relationship to God, this restored relationship that was brought about through Christ, then you go to the throne right now and you tell Him you're sorry and you just come back. He will meet you as the father of the prodigal met his son, and He will put the royal robes on you and the ring on your finger, and all the angels in heaven will rejoice just as they rejoice when someone new comes that's never been with the Lord. Now then, my friends, if you want some help in this walk, if you want someone to work with you and walk with you and answer questions for you and be in fellowship with you, you can have that. Just contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. That's The Sojourner. That's spelled THESOJOURNER. .org. Send me an email. We'll work with you. We'll help you. If you're on Skype and you want to talk to someone, contact us. That's The Sojourner 3734 on Skype. We'll be glad to work with you. We'll be glad to get information to you. You can go on our website, sojournershub.org, and there you can listen to literally years' worth of messages to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. This is the resurrection of our Lord. And we praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll pronounce this blessing on you now. And if you want to contact us, I've given you the information. Feel free to do so. With this blessing, we'll bring to close the end of this broadcast, but not the end of our relationship. We'd love to hear from you. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Amen.